Welcome to the Every Nation Rosebank Church podcast. At our church, we honor God, make disciples, and transform nations. For more information about our church, visit everynationrosebank.org and don't forget to subscribe.
Welcome to autumn. Alala, eh? I saw some people coming to church and it was a little bit colder inside than outside for a change. People were like, where's my blanket? I remember, you know, the old days, we used to have ushers with blankets. You know, when you fall under the Spirit, you cover you. Where are those blankets? We can maybe cover ourselves with that this morning. So really great to be with you this morning again. I want to introduce you to a dear friend of mine, Seth Nyker. His wife and kids will be joining us in the next service. So we're going to be doing a conversation this morning. We've been friends for over 25 years. It's been an absolutely incredible relationship. We love to fight, we love to play, and we're really committed to one another. And so just as a way of introducing Seth this morning, one story that comes to mind, we were on this dance and drama team. I know some of you don't believe I ever danced, but I was on a dance and drama team. I could do some pansula stuff, and we were at a Christian camp in Germany called Missio Camp. We were the guest artists for that week. And because you're laughing like you don't believe me. Because we were the guest artists, they flew the South African flag. This was back in 1999. So they were flying the South African flag. And there were two, they weren't young. They were old folk. Were very unhappy that the new South African flag was fluttering in the sky. And they took it upon themselves to lower the flag. And so Seth stood in front of the flagpole and said to them, you're going to have to come through me first. And then I said, you have to come through me too. We were still young, like early 20s. These guys were in their early 30s, 40s.
I was younger than him, though.
You what?
I was younger than you.
You were younger than, yeah, you were much younger than me. And we were scared. We defended our flag. That flag stood. Those guys walked away. Once they turned around, we both went and cried a little bit afterwards. But that's one of my fondest memories with Seth, is defending the South African flag. Seth, you want to say something about our friendship?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Quentin, you remember this, yeah? Salama pansula. Get amatota.
I can't remember.
Amatota. Yeah, so actually it's true. Quentin used to dance. It took us a lot of time to get him in the reps and the preps. But you did well.
Thank you.
It's really an honor to be with you all this morning here at Every Nation. I have many friends and some family that are linked to your church. And obviously one of my good friends, brothers, Quentin. So really just a blessing to be in conversation, to connect, and to think together about, you know, relating with one another in such a time as this. So, Quentin, it's absolutely a privilege to have this time, and let us be blessed as we continue.
Okay, so now, I'm sorry, I'm going to reveal some people's age in a moment. Can you raise your hand and wave to me if you voted in the first democratic elections in this country back in 1994, just raise your hand. All right, great. Keep your hands raised. For the people that had, okay, so there's a lot more of you than what I thought there would be, because I want to do something. So can I ask, if you voted in that election, can I ask you to stand for a second, if you don't mind? Yeah, there we go. I remember I was 18 or 19 at the time, and I stood in a line with a 75-year-old gogo that was voting for the first time that year. Can I ask a couple of people just to come around these people and ask them what were they hoping for? What were they dreaming? What was their expectation when they voted back that time? I know for some of them, that's like a lifetime ago. They can't remember. But for many of them, I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Find one of these people and ask them what was happening in their hearts and minds during that time, if you don't mind.
Okay. Thank you very much. Please give them a love splash. I want to teach every nation. I don't know if Quentin did teach you. Can you? That's good for applause, but just try a love splash. Just warm up your fingertips like this here. And then you just splash them with some love. Is that the one in your face? Eh? It's just the one to say we appreciate you. So as we think about this and us having this conversation that we're going to go into, there are people that have had experiences that are different to us. Amen? Right on? You feel me? There are people that would have had exposure that you would have not had. So in some of the journey with Quentin, it's ironic for many people to think, how did I get into, for example, the context of black contextual theology? Sounds like a lot of words, right? Did you hear what I said? Black contextual theology. And one of the voices that inside this kind of thinking and this kind of faith was Steve Biko. Any Biko people in the house? Hey, there's some Bikoites here. Great stuff. But the irony is, somebody from across the way, somebody that others would have thought, hey, that guy could never. I was at Ocean Basket with Quentin getting ready to journey abroad with some of my studies. And I was leaving South Africa for a while. And here they presented me with an ocean, you know the Ocean Basket table covers?
The old one. Remember they used
the
to
old
have
school the... one, the paper one. So they put a book in and there were messages on it. And inside on the middle of the table was I Write What I Like by Steve Biko. So this is the irony. Somebody that comes from the other part of life across the way gave me a gift that actually became a key reading that I then journeyed into. So be open to God surprising us as we journey through this time. And even as we reflect over the next few weeks through, and you all will reflect a lot more than I will, but it's really an honor for us to journey together into the space of Esther.
So over the next couple of weeks leading up to the election, we're going to be sitting in the book of Esther and pray that God will guide us as we reach up to the elections and what the word of Esther can say for us. And so just some interesting things about Esther and the book of Esther. I found out that her name is a star, and some people talk about it as the Venus, which is the last star to shine before the sun rises, which is an indication to me that before the day breaks, before the promise of a new day comes, there's always this glimmer of hope. And so as we think about where we are in the country, it might seem really dark right now. And may the book of Esther be a shining light that a new day is coming, is something for me to think about. Something interesting about the book of Esther, that during World War II, the Nazis never allowed Jewish people to read the book of Esther. It was such a powerful book of hope in terms of desolation and disillusionment that they weren't allowed to read the book of Esther during World War II. We're going to pick up in chapter 1 today. So the book is written 100 years after the Jewish people have been liberated from the Babylonians. And so they're living in Persia. It's a massive kingdom stretching from India all the way to Ethiopia. Jewish people have been allowed to go back to Jerusalem. For some reason, some Jewish people never decided to go back, and Esther and Mordecai are one of those people. King Xerxes is in charge of Persia. It's his kingdom that is ruling. And the book of Esther picks up where Xerxes is hosting a number of feasts. In fact, throughout the book of Esther, there are feasts and drinking, and there's lots of drinking in the book of Esther and lots of parties in the book of Esther, right? And so King Xerxes hosts a party for 185 days for his political leaders. Can you imagine? 185-day party, that's half the year, where your administrators, your leaders are all having a good party, right? At the end of that 85 days, he then hosts a party for the whole country or the whole city. For 7 days, he allows anybody to come and drink what they want and do whatever they want in this time of feast. And what he's actually doing up, he's actually busy beginning to build an army to invade Greece. And so this is like political parties saying, join me, we've got lots of, like, if we can throw a party for 185 days, we can take out anybody. We've got more than enough resources. And so he was doing a little bit of political rival, getting people to go with him on this particular journey. And so that's where we're picking up our story today in the reading. And so Seth is going to take us and pick us up from after the 7-day feast that King Xerxes is hosting.
So say to your neighbor, neighbor, watch me now. So if you ever were at a party at any of you got some rich family, let's see a show of hands. You know, like when you walk, they are a rich family. Anybody? And where the rich family people do some crazy things that you don't agree with. Anybody been to a party like that? Or your family are good family? Eh? It's only my family, only my family. Where it inconveniences you. And sometimes where if you like, Quentin said there's a lot of drinking going on, I want you to hear this text. That somebody has kind of had a little bit too much to drink. Some of you I can say, looking at me and you're looking at your pastors here, but you're looking a bit like. So you get where we're at, right? This is real, right? So let's pick it up then. Esther chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes, and I said to you it was coming, here it is, was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs who served him, Mehuman, Bista, Harbona, Bigta, Abakta, Zetar, and Carcass, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the beautiful and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. May God bless the reading of this word. Amen. As we begin and as we think together, Quentin and I, in preparation of this text, came up with some things that we'd like you to hold on as a container. So say to your neighbor, watch these two. And the first three that I'm going to say, he'll say the other two, is this. Talk with people who are not from our side of the railways or the highways or our point of view. Especially when we're thinking about what we're seeing in the times that we live in, like the text said. Talk to someone who you otherwise, you know, that person and I, we won't be good friends. Ask because you want to listen and learn not to ask just because you've arrived at an answer. Ask questions because you actually want to listen and learn. Especially in the days of parties going around us that we might not agree with. Ask, why are you doing such a thing? But actually mean to learn. And then be open about your truth and speaking God truth toward our dignity. So it's not just your truth, but actually asking God, God, what will you have me speak?
And then the other two was about embracing open-handed living in a world where we live with closed-fisted lives. And this idea about how do we live generously, similar to what you were sharing, Shipping. And God has got our back. Despite what's happening around us, God has got our back. And that we live spirit-empowered lives in community, in faith. That was some of the things that came out of our conversation as we were preparing for this. So, Seth, you'll be aware that Esther doesn't mention the name of God. It's one of the only books in the Bible that doesn't mention the name of God. In fact, it barely made it into the canon of the Bible that we know today because of the secular nature of the book of Esther. And before we jump into the scripture that we're talking about today, I want to talk about why do you think we as people struggle with silence so much? One, we struggle when rooms are silent. And we also struggle sometimes when God seems to be silent. And so there's two questions I want to pose to you. One, why do you think we struggle with silence? And do you think that people think that God is silent about our country at the moment?
I think that every one of us in this space, when it comes to silence, it can be very inconvenient, right? Especially if I'm thinking about that text and the context of the text. But let's practice something simple. And if you may, please breathe in with me. And breathe out, and breathe in, and breathe out. And let's practice just 10 seconds of silence. When you think about the party in Esther, what was going on, just practice 10 seconds of silence, saying, God, how would you have me behave in that kind of a context? What would I do? Shall we do it together? 10 seconds. And breathe in and breathe out. So I kind of went there with my mind immediately to that party that will be happening. And I think a lot of the time when it comes to the silence, God may be speaking, but we aren't listening. Sure. And I had an experience with a friend. Well, she became a friend later. At the get-go, this was our facilitator of Adventure Outreach Ministries, Sally Mann. Yeah. And she took me as a Southside young man into the dark of night to experience nature. And I thought to myself, man, what's this? What's wrong with this lady? She said, no, can we just want to go. The whole team must go and sit in the dark of night to listen to nature. I was a bit irritated, Quentin, because I thought to myself, no, what am I going to learn in the silence? And as I paused in the dark of night, I began to listen to the beautiful orchestra of music of God. And while, like even in this text of Esther, as we think about, you know, does it seem that God is silent? God is not actually here, but God is here. Mm. And it takes for us to quiet ourselves. And don't be surprised when the silence might shock you, eh?
Yeah, the silence might shock you, and there might be something really beautiful coming out of that. So as you sat that night in silence, and nature came alive and sang a beautiful song to you, sometimes it's easier to look back and see God's hand when we look back. So if we look back at our country from 1990 to 1994, and we look back, we can see God's hand in move, right? And there are a number of stories I've heard where God miraculously intervened so that we could get to where we are now. For example, when the AWB rode that military vehicle into Codesa, that could have been the end of the negotiations. That could have been the end of everything, but it didn't end. I remember the IFP were about to pull out of the elections. They were not interested in engaging. Buthelezi was going to get on a plane in Lanseria, but there was a massive storm that delayed his takeoff, which allowed in time for the negotiator to arrive at the airport and get onto the plane. And from Lanseria to KZN, they were able to change his mind, and they were part of the elections. If we think about the assassination of Chris Hani, a miracle happened on that day that we didn't go into a civil war. And so if we retrospectively look back, we can see God's hand through the elections between 1990 and 1994. So it's 30 years past. We are sitting now in a country where we might not be hearing God's word. So if we were to sit quietly in our country and listen, what do you think we could hear God doing and saying right now in our country? Despite all this that's happening around us, can you point to God's hand working in our country today?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to reflect on God speaking in the silence. Even though we think that God may not be speaking, how is God speaking through the people that we are engaging? And I think, like, as I reflect on, you know, where have I struggled to hear the voice of God? Have you ever been in the most difficult point of your life, anybody? And you know that there's busyness, especially some of us, we're on the spectrum. You know, you talk about being on the spectrum. Your mind is busy. You're like on a developmental spectrum. Any of you struggle to calm your mind down? But when you do take the time to pause, to kind of just anchor with yourself and others, again, I'm saying that God is in those moments, right in the struggle. No matter how I'm feeling, no matter how I am relating to this year and now. And so even in our political time, Quentin, I can think of moments where people would have inside the Lanesia, within the 30 years, Southside Joburg, families were erupting in violence based on some of the conversations that were taking place. But wasn't it amazing, even before COVID, 2019, February, the Day of Love, remember that? Lots of people thought, whoa, this country was going to go to the hoo-ha. Yeah. And when people are praying, God can step in and do something amazing. Yeah. So I'm reminded that while we may think God is not speaking, while we may be feeling like, hey, this party is going on like it's all a free flow, but God is working in the mix of it all.
Absolutely, God is working. And I hope that God is working in your life to start showing you how he's speaking to you in the midst of what we think is potentially silence, in what we potentially think is utter darkness. I really do believe that we are on a dawn of something really amazing and really incredible, that in 30 years' time, when we look back at today and where we are as a country today, we will see God's hand in incredible ways and peculiar ways in terms of how that shows up. So in our prep, Seth, and talking today together, you said you're unusually clear about the double trouble realm. So like you're unusually clear about the impact of power and wealth and the impact that has on us today in the country. So what is this unusual clarity that you have around the impact of power and wealth in our country and the temptations that come with that? Because if I'm thinking about King Xerxes, he had lots of power, he had lots of wealth, and he was tempted by it in many ways and used it for God's glory. Why are you so unusually clear about the double trouble of wealth and power?
So let's put it in a question. Are we unusually clear about the double trouble of the team? And I call them a team. Like Auntie Power and Uncle Wealth.
Okay.
Say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's an Auntie Power.
And
an Uncle Wealth.
Uncle Wealth.
And I think most of us here have been schooled by Auntie Power and Uncle Wealth. Like we don't talk about people, but if we just name those two, power and wealth as people, they school us. And they let us know that when you walk into their place, you have to live up to their expectations. They say even the rich, the most rich and famous, feel uncomfortable in their own skins in a culture that they supposedly have created. Wow. Because of Auntie Power and Uncle Wealth.
How does that show up? Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, like it shows up in its in you walking into a place and you know, oh God, I don't belong here.
Wow.
Oh God, what's at play here? And people expect you to walk in. They would use words like this. Have you heard people say this? You don't have the acumen.
I've heard that many times, that I don't have the acumen.
I almost thought they were talking about a cucumber for a moment. You don't have the acumen to be here. And somewhere, somehow, there's a counter way of power, because Jesus' power is not interested in that kind of power and wealth.
That's right.
That kind of anti-power and uncle wealth. Jesus' power starts to move, and you may start to hear the stomping of feet of people down at the bottom, but they don't even know that they got, but they're working for the all of us. And so when I think about us being unusually clear, a friend of ours said it like this, and I want to be clear that I didn't say it first. He said it first. Because he said, when he thinks about Auntie Power and Uncle Wells and the people that are associated, this friend of ours, God, said, he thinks about people going to toilet. He said, not I said, right? He said, when you walk into the presence of those people, go into the loo, it puts a bad picture in my mind. Isn't it so? But the story was laid up like this for me, that actually every person is human. Kind of just settle yourself in. And why it's important for us to be aware of this in such a time like this, or for such a time as this, is where we see people who are associated to the family of power and the family of wealth, we need to walk in there and be able to be human. Because guess what? They're human too. And when we know that we can calm that storm inside our lives, then we might be able to speak God's truth to those people for such a time as this.
Okay. It's easy to say, oh, we just need to see people as human, but how is it? And I saw you do this once. We were in East Berlin, a really poor part of Germany. I was surprised to see gravel roads in this community.
With Martin.
Yes. And we were doing a performance in this poorer community, and a group of 15 neo-Nazis decided to join our performance that day. And they sat in with their skinheads. They never greeted. I was the only white South African on the team, so they only greeted me when they arrived. They refused to shake Seth's hand or Buchle's hand, and they watched the performance. And then after the performance, I remember you finding the leader of that group, and you spent 45 minutes talking with him. You would be the first black person he ever spoke to, even though he hated black people at the time. What was it about that moment that allowed you to see the humanity in that person?
Like I said, I had to first just calm my own fear.
Yeah.
Because there's a different kind of anti-power and Uncle Wealth working with him. And clearly his group came in to disrupt our events at the day. But I knew that for us to be safe as a team, I had to speak to this person that was guarding the gates of this space. And clearly, even the youth workers, Quentin, if you remember, the youth workers that invited us, were so scared of them, they sat down. But I'm worried for our well-being, isn't it so? And it's amazing what God does with us when it's not just about me, myself, and I kind of thinking. It's about the us. And I was worried about you. I mean, you know, like it seemed like you fitted in. I was worried they might give you a few smacks while you're talking to them. You know, but also on the other side, we had this team in the space that was that made it difficult to think, will we be safe? And so the first thing was I wasn't thinking about myself. And to engage this power and engage in these with this family of wealth, it's to talk to them that have the so-called keys to the existence. To say to them, listen, can we go about our program? At the end of the program, when we did speak to Martin Quinton, I kind of asked to connect with him more proper. And remember, yeah. They wanted to go with Übersetzen. In German, they say translation. And I said, no, just hang on a moment. Let me talk with him at first. And we, through broken English and broken German on either side, I think my German was better than his English. But we found one another. Here's this kid who was really around about 19 years old. And I found out that he lost his father at 5 years old. He joined a gang, a neo-Nazi gang. And when I asked him the question, why do you hate us? He said, because, you know, you Africans are coming here. And all I had to say to him was a very simple thing. I said, but you Germans are living in our country. He said, echt? I said, yeah, we have lots of your Germans living in our country. I can even take you to eat cow tongue, where they eat cow tongue. And that's all I told him. And in a matter of moments, truth and great knowledge awakened the so-called neo-Nazi who was, by and large, just a young man who lost his dad.
And who was hurting. And so that is an empowerment for us as Christians, that when we go into these places, that people are very different to us. When we talk to Uncle Wealth and Auntie Power, have I got them the right way around?
Any which way, like they're part of the same family.
Right? That I need to see the person in there. And how do I do that with God's help? What are some of the things that I can do tomorrow, Monday, when I got to meet my CEO and they're really engaged with Uncle and Auntie Welfare? Like, how do I walk into that? What can I do to lower my anxiety?
So I'm going to speak as a person of color. Is that okay? Every Nation, you okay with that? For many people, all of us are people of color. But whether you're a white person of color, a black person of color, a colored person of color, or an Indian person of color, or anywhere in between the ranges of the color range in South Africa. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because when we start talking about those kind of things in South Africa, people get like, "Ooh, don't go there." But we gotta talk about this and be like relaxed about it. I mean, like when I meet Indians from India, they just know I'm not Indian. Yeah, like I tried it. I landed in India, actually landed in Bangalore. I went and I said, I'm going to crook this. And they always told me I'm Indian in South Africa. I went to walk in the national line. And I walked, I started walking Indian, thinking like, okay, let me walk Indian. And the guy he met, he didn't even look at my passport. He said, no, go the other side. Say, go the other side. Say, go the other side. So like, and I think we must locate ourselves in our South Africa about who we are. And calm that storm about the things that we don't want to talk about. And to do that means I got to pause myself. I got to say to myself, listen, this is not a conversation that I'm going to lose my mind in. Mm. But it really to do that is to trust God in it. And I mean, I know a simple kind of acronym, you know. Stop, breathe, listen, but then don't just go away. Respond. Stop the clock. And why I say it as people that are living in South Africa, we, some of us, have a very bad self-image. We wake up in the morning, we don't really know that we love ourselves. We walk into places of power and wealth, we walk into the room, we try to live up to their standards. I mean, like, be who God called you to be. Yeah. You don't have to dance for them. But can you imagine that you start a party and power and wealth come to your party and now you're not asking Queen Vashti to stand there naked with a crown on, showing her beauty to all the men. It takes courage for Vashti to do what she did.
Absolutely.
She said, I'm not coming.
That's right.
That's what you're saying. And I mean, to stand up in that moment to say to King Xerxes, you and all your counselors can go to wherever they were talking about, but I am not coming to that festival.
And Seth, I sometimes think we underestimate, like when I've seen pictures of King Xerxes, it's always been Christian pictures of King Xerxes. He's always a meek, mild kind of guy, but in my mind, it's the 300 Xerxes. If you've watched the movie 300, that man, God kind of, that's the kind
that
of figure.
Those guys would
yeah. No, I don't have a six pack. But he's an intimidating character. And for her to say no to him was a massive amount of courage that required of her to do that, right? Which I think is calling us today around what kind of courage do we need to be in the time that we find ourselves in. Because it means that we need to stand up against injustices. It means that we need to speak up for people that don't have a voice. And often when we're in spaces like this, we encourage people to be courageous. We encourage people to stand up against power, Uncle Power and Auntie Wealth, right? And we almost promised a reward for that, right? If you do that, then you become like Nelson Mandela. If you do that, you'll be like this. But in this example of Vashti, if you read on, she's expelled from, she's dethroned. She's expelled. We never hear from her again. And so there's a real cost associated with being courageous, with doing what we're saying we need to do. And I don't for 1 minute want people to think that if you're going to be courageous tomorrow, you're going to get a promotion. You're probably not going to get a promotion. In fact, I can talk about as late as last year, I stood up against somebody and I lost a contract. I lost a big amount of work that I was going to have this year because I stood up against somebody and I wasn't rewarded for it. And even as I'm standing with you today, I'm still mourning that. I'm still feeling like maybe I should have just kept quiet. You know, it would have been much better for me financially to have just kept quiet. But actually, not so. No?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I think that for many of us, if we're real about it, the reality of life is that it can be very stressful. But it's important for us to find the first step to grow some of that courage. The one thing I can say to you is that if you really believe that God is with you, God can be with you in a church space that feels so-called safe. Because those of us, it's easy to be courageous with people who think like us. It's not easy to be courageous with people that are on the other side of the railway tracks. And I just believe that we got to take that step of faith to just say, it's like having a cheesecake, wouldn't it?
What do you mean cheesecake?
So I know we have to be sensitive because, you know, even dietary today has to be politically correct. Because if I talk to you about cheesecake, you might say, but I'm eating vegetables. I'm watching my vitality check. So may I use cheesecake? Is it okay? So Marisha, my covenant love partner, my dream lady, she liked cheesecake or still loves cheesecake. But I, in my brain, for some reason, never connected how can cheese go together with the cake. How do you put cheese and cake? But Quentin, I'm telling you, that day came when she said, try it.
Yeah.
Take the first taste. Just try it. And in my brain, it went down like the stopping, breathing, but it was in slow-mo. There came the spoon. Slow down. Coop, 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 coop. Because I thought I'm going to die. But I tasted the cheesecake. Ah. And as you can see, I love to tell the story.
I can see you've lived to tell the story.
Yeah, yeah. There's a six-pack here. So I just want to say to you, just before we even talk about the cost of courage, it's to build the courage to get there. And it means the first steps. I mean, there's some folk that are with me here. We play on a soccer group. And some folk are acting irregularly on a soccer group. And I have conversations with some friends. And I'll say, no, tell them. Say what you believe for the sake of all, not just for the sake of me, to practice that courage. But I'm aware, and this is old school faith, you know? Old school faith. Anybody old school faith is in the house? Like you voted back then? Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Oh. I can see you to me. We must that song, eh? But that old school kind of faith said, Lord, you got my back. Even if they take from me my money and they take from me my resources, I'm not dependent on those people, Uncle Power and Auntie Wealth. And in a time like this, it will require us to say, Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, talk to me. That when I'm in the courts like King Xerxes and I feel the pressure that Queen Vashti faced, may I have the power in Jesus' name. Not that power of Uncle Power and Auntie Wealth, but the power in Jesus Christ that says, I'm with you. God is with us.
So, as we start to think about bringing our time to an end, thanks for joining me and Seth in our conversation. This is how we talk all the time. He often sings to me when we're talking as well. Coming to church on Sunday is about helping you practice that courage. Coming to church on Sunday and meeting other people that are like-minded as you is just to give you that little bit of encouragement to say, tomorrow when you stand in those places of power and wealth, when we need to make decisions about our country in the next coming weeks, that this is a community that can stand with you and help you go through those things, because you're not going to be rewarded necessarily for being courageous, for standing up around that. And it's about tapping into what God has got for you And so this is just a little bit of a nudge. You know, in a boxing corner, you come to your coach, gives you some tips, you go out and box, you come back the next week, say, try this, try that. And so, Seth, as we begin to bring our time to a close, we're going to spend some time in worship as we think about our week ahead and as we go into these powers of places of power and wealth, and as we begin to prep ourselves for the next couple of months ahead of us in terms of election, what we need to do. After the service, I don't want to interrupt the worship piece, but after the service through the doors, we're going to have a number of voting stations that you can do pre-voting so that you practice before we get to the elections. But it's voting stations so that you can put your questions, your concerns, something that you have on your heart. Say, I would love the church to talk about this. Just pop, there's a voting station, you can write on there, you can pop it in it, and we'll provide it to the other pastors that will be preaching over the next couple of weeks to either answer those questions or to help you go through some of the struggles that you're having. So after the service, out the door, you'll see some voting stations, and you can just pop your concerns or prayers or questions that you have. And hopefully over the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to do that. Over to you, sir.
Say to your neighbor, neighbor, we are, I am, powered by God's Spirit. Some of you notice Ephesians text, and as we close out, I have God's Spirit in me, under me, over me, all around me. I got the, somebody once said, yes, I got that helmet of salvation. I got that chest plate of righteousness and justice. I have that sword of the Spirit. I have the shield of faith. And I have the belt of truth. And if I may say so, Quentin, I got my techies of readiness. Amen. And God's Spirit working in us can do amazing and wonderful things. I don't know if you know the song, but if you do, please join me in this time. As we just declare, God, as we go into this time of election cycle, as we go into what you're calling for me and us as a community of faith to do, Lord, give us your courage of faith. So please join me along if you know the song. Thanks, Karabo. Come, Holy Spirit. Move among us, come Holy Spirit, flow living water, flow within us, flow living water. Come on, bring your voice, your love is alive, your love is alive, oh. It's breaking the darkness. It's bringing the light to soften this heart, to soften the heart of stone. Your love is alive. It's breaking the dark. It's winning the fight. Yes, it is. And bringing the orphan utando, utando wako. Lwako, luya pila, luya pila, mbuso wako, wako, uya pila, uya. Your love is a light as we close. Your love is a light, oh. It's breaking the darkness. It's bringing the light to soften the heart of stone. Your love is alive. It's breaking the darkness. It's winning the fight, bringing the orphan home.
Amen. Father, your light is coming into our nation, Lord Father God. Your light is coming into our families. Your light is coming into our lives, Lord Father God. As our country gears up for elections, Lord Father God, won't your Spirit rest upon this nation, Lord Father God? Won't you begin to speak to your people in powerful and dynamic ways, Lord Father God? That there will not be a spirit of fear on this nation, Lord Father God. That we will not be coward, Lord Father God, but that we would be courageous, Lord Father God. Not in our own power and our own strength, but knowing that your Spirit is with us, Lord Father God. That we as Christians will speak your word. We will speak truth to power, Lord Father God. That we will bring your light, Lord Father God. And so over the next couple of weeks, Lord Father God, I pray that you would give us instruction, that you would guide us, Lord Father God. And that as we go to work tomorrow, Lord Father God, as we engage with our friends and family, Lord Father God, that you would be with us tomorrow, Lord Father God. That you would continuously encourage us to be courageous, Lord Father God, regardless of whether we get a cost or get anything from that, Lord Father God. We want to thank you for our time together this morning in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.